This is We've Got Issues on IPR News Radio, a weekly look at the political state we live in. Good morning. I'm David Castleman. Advocates for a new Sioux lock have been trying to get Congress to fund the project for decades. They say it's a matter of national and economic security to build a new lock to handle 1,000-foot iron boats. Congress first authorized the project in the 1980s, but has not come up with the money to pay for it. With President Trump in office, there's renewed optimism among some that now could finally be the time to build it. But my guest this morning argues that it should not be taxpayers footing the bill on the estimated $600 million lock. Jarrett Dieterle is a fellow at the R Street Institute in Washington, D.C. He formerly worked at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy in Michigan. Jarrett, thanks for making time.
Thank you very much for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
You co-wrote a piece for Michigan Capital Confidential last year on this topic. That's a publication of the Mackinac Center. How do you think the new lock should be paid for?
Well, that's a good question. It's quite literally the multi-million dollar question, I guess. Obviously, the Michigan congressional delegation and a lot of observers have been calling for the federal government to step in and fund the lock. And so me and my colleague Bill Newman decided to advocate a different model of financing for the lock. And what we suggested was either a privatization model or a user fee model that would be run by the government that would essentially unlock immediate funding for the lock and would allow the lock to actually get funds that weren't federal but be able to do its repairs and its maintenance that needed. And in exchange, there would be user fees that would be charged to the ships that traverse through the lock, which would allow the private entity that potentially was funding the lock to recoup their investment. So this would be an alternate financing model to kind of clear up the logjam.
Is there any place in the world where a lock is owned by a private company?
So actually, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has been experimenting with some public-private partnership models in which they've actually working with private entities that operate and maintain certain water infrastructure assets. And then in exchange, as we said, there's usually some kind of a user fee or a funding mechanism that's attached to that. And, of course, you see it at a much larger scale everywhere with other infrastructure assets, most commonly toll roads is what we're used to. Where cars will go and pay tolls, and that money goes to keep up the maintenance of the infrastructure. So it's not a totally foreign idea that's out of left field.
Do you think that privatization is politically viable at this point? I guess it's hard to imagine the federal government giving up an asset like the Sioux Locks.
That's a great question, and that's probably the most common pushback to our idea. People kind of are leery of the idea of a private entity owning a lock, but although I don't necessarily agree that that's problematic, it's important to keep in mind that, the private entity wouldn't necessarily have to own the asset. They could, do a long-term lease or some kind of contractual arrangement like a public-private partnership, as I mentioned, with the government. And also, as I mentioned, they wouldn't even have to have a private entity involved at all. You could actually just have Congress authorize the Army Corps of Engineers themselves, who now operate and maintain the locks. They could be the ones who charge user fees for the boats that go through and raise money that way.
Let's talk about that option where the Army Corps charges a fee on ships as they pass through. Are they not doing that right now?
Yeah, so right now, no. And there is, of course, certain taxes that are charged on different kind of water vehicles around the country, mostly on like the Inland Waterways Trust Fund, which pays for, or at least a portion of that is supposed to go towards paying for some of the locks and dams and water infrastructure we have. But there's no actual user fee model, which is kind of a what some people, economists will call a beneficiary pays idea, where if you're the one benefiting most from a certain asset and a certain structure, then it's not unreasonable to expect you to be the one that pays for that. And we see that all the time in government, of course, sewers, electrical utilities, things like that. I mean, actual end users, the people that are benefiting from those things, are paying for them in the form of some kind of a fee structure. It's not an idea that hasn't been used in other forms of public utilities and of public assets.
Representatives of the shipping companies say that they're already paying fees for infrastructure, and they point to the money that goes to the what's called the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund. They pay a percent based on the value of the cargo delivered to a port. And they say that, you know, the federal government is just not spending all that money on water infrastructure. What do you make of that argument?
Well, you know, certainly there's a lot of good critiques of how the federal government spends its money. And it's just important to keep in mind, though, that the federal government also has a lot of things that demand its money, even with water infrastructure. I mean, the Army Corps of Engineers itself has to operate and maintain almost 200 locks throughout the country. And I think they've estimated it would be $13 billion to get all those up to speed and fixed again, because a lot of them were built in the 30s and are old. So I'm sure that there's critiques that can be made about where, you know, that money is going and what's being prioritized. But that's kind of one of our arguments, is that, you know, instead of waiting for the Sioux Lock to be the thing that's prioritized and it gets the federal funding, which may never happen. That hasn't happened for 30 years. So it's not clear that that's something that's going to be prioritized today or tomorrow, or even into the future. So why not try some other mechanism that can get immediate funding to fix the deteriorating lock?
You wrote that the prospects for a new lock were grim a year ago. And do you think that the odds have changed, though, since President Trump was elected?
So it's certainly possible that they have. He, in his campaign, of course, prioritized and spoke often about infrastructure spending. And, you know, it may be more likely today that Congress ends up appropriating the money that's needed. But I think even in the event it does, I still think that looking at alternate models like privatization and user fees is smart, because we need to ask yourself, are we going to always be trying to fund things like Sioux Lock upgrades or new Sioux Lock and other water infrastructure, regular infrastructure? Are we always going to be doing it on this ad hoc basis of just expecting Congress to eventually step in with federal money? And it doesn't seem like a particularly sustainable model in the long term.
Jarrett Dieterle is a fellow at the R Street Institute in Washington, D.C. Jarrett, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.